hour look at WILL News. Our next report this afternoon at 4:30 Central Time during All Things Considered.
WILL programs are made possible by Women's Health Practice and Dr. Suzanne Troopin, offering obstetrics, gynecology, and fertility services on Neal Street in Champaign. Women's Health Practice is a Health Alliance medical plan provider and is accepting new patients. More information is available at womenshealthpractice.com.
It's 12:38. Let's take a look at the weather. The rain Missouri and southern Illinois saw this morning will spread across most of the Midwest this afternoon. As low pressure tracks through the region, widespread rain with a few embedded thunderstorms will occur this afternoon and evening. The rain will come to an end by tomorrow morning and will be followed by dry weather through the upcoming weekend. High temperatures today will range from the upper 30s across northern Iowa to the mid-50s in Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will range from the low 20s in northern Iowa to the mid-40s in western Kentucky. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, rain is likely, the high 42, the wind from the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain with a chance of thunderstorms, the low 35, the wind will be out of the southwest from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, decreasing clouds and a high of 42, the wind will be from the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 20s and a west wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday, mostly sunny. The high will be in the mid-40s. The wind will be from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Friday night through Monday, partly cloudy. Lows through the period will be in the mid-20s with highs in the low 40s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 30s to the mid-40s. Most locations reported a cloudy sky. At Rockford, it was partly sunny and 42. 42 and cloudy at Chicago, 40 and cloudy at Bloomington. In Mattoon, 38 degrees and cloudy. Carbondale reported light rain in 44. At South Bend, 40 degrees. Lafayette, 41. In Indianapolis, 42. And in Terre Haute, 40 degrees. All those locations reporting a cloudy sky. At Willard Airport, it was cloudy at the top of the hour, 40 degrees. The dew point, 36. The relative humidity, 86%. The wind out of the south at 17. The barometric pressure, 30.07 and steady. And at 1240, 39 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in today. Sewers are among the most basic of city services and one of the least exciting until something goes wrong. City officials in Champaign and Urbana have seen enough flooding over the years that they're proposing a new fee to pay for maintaining and improving the storm sewer system. A dozen other Illinois cities already use the fee. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows has more on the proposal.
The stormwater utility fee is an idea that Steve Cochran says is long overdue. Steve's house in Champaign's Clark Park neighborhood sits in what he jokingly calls Ground Zero, the lowest spot of the John Street watershed. When a heavy rain falls under the right conditions, the storm sewers can't handle it, and water comes flowing down Daniel Street and into the back of Steve Cochran's yard. It's a dry winter day as we talk, but Steve points out the water's precise path during the last big flood in 2008.
It comes and it overflows just at the corner of my driveway and starts running across where my little deck is, my patio, and down that back property line. Then it starts overflowing even further up. This becomes like a torrent.
Steve Cochran and his neighbors have suffered through knee-deep floodwaters in their streets, yards, and basements every few years. After years of lobbying the city, John Street watershed residents are getting some relief from a new and bigger storm sewer pipe underneath John Street that's set to be completed this spring. But despite spending tens of millions of dollars on stormwater control projects in recent years, Champaign still has a lot of work ahead of them, and so does Urbana, where Public Works engineer Brad Bennett says older storm sewers are deteriorating and becoming obsolete.
Our design standards have changed over time, too. If you go back into the 60s and 70s, what they considered acceptable for a storm sewer system design might have been a 1 or 2 year storm, and now we design for a 5 or 10 year storm.
In their search for more storm sewer funding, both Urbana and Champaign are looking at the storm sewer utility fee as a new source of revenue. And says Champaign Public Works Director Dennis Schmidt, a better source than just raising taxes.
Because this is a more equitable way to distribute cost for stormwater based on an impervious area.
By impervious area, Schmidt means any place where a building or pavement keeps water from soaking naturally into the ground. Both the Champaign and Urbana proposals would charge single-family homes and duplexes in the neighborhood of $5 a month, while larger properties would be charged according to more precise measurements of their impervious areas. But both cities would also offer tax credits or cash incentives for using techniques that retain stormwater long enough to soak into the soil, avoiding storm sewers altogether. Champaign County Board Member Patsy Petrie, another John Street watershed resident, showed me an example installed outside the flood-prone Champaign School District Administration Building. It's a rain garden, a depression in the soil planted with hardy, water-absorbing wetland vegetation. Petrie says it's one of several things property owners can install to limit their water runoff.
One individual rain garden alone doesn't solve the problem, but part of the total design picture that is to combine what we call a civil engineering solution, which is a pipe, and sustainable or green solutions.
But such incentives wouldn't make the stormwater utility fee go down to zero, and businesses especially worry about the cost. Paul Orama of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce says some of their members think the fee would be an unfair burden on owners of large buildings and parking lots like Marketplace Mall. The chamber's board was expected to decide on an official position at a meeting scheduled for today. Brian J. Sullivan, a Champaign apartment building owner, has written against the stormwater utility fee in the News Gazette's op-ed pages. He says imposing the fee in the current weak economy is a bad idea.
I don't disagree that they need to do some of these projects, but I think right now we can't afford it. It's just like a homeowner. They might want a color TV, but if they can't afford it right now, they're just going to have to wait.
Sullivan's op-ed piece also argues that it's deceptive to use the term fee for what he says would really be a new tax. But Champaign and Urbana officials say that if given final approval by their city councils, the stormwater utility fee would have to be paid even by tax-exempt institutions, such as churches, schools, and the University of Illinois. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
You'll find links and videos with more information about the storm water utility fee proposal at our website, will.illinois.edu. People in the organic food industry are about to have an easier time doing business. The U.S. and European Union are announcing they will consider one another's organic standards equivalent. So if it's organic here, it's also organic in Europe. Organic companies are cheering because their potential market just doubled. NPR's Dan Charles reports.
Before organic was a brand, and before organic farming meant following a lot of rules, it was just a philosophy that you could grow healthier food by nurturing natural life in the soil. In different countries, there were different prophets of this idea almost a century ago. Rudolf Steiner in Germany, Sir Albert Howard in England, J.I. Rodale in the United States. But Sam Fromarts, author of the book Organic Inc., says from the beginning, the different parts of this international movement were talking to each other, and they came up with very similar practices.
You were going to avoid chemical pesticides, you were going to avoid chemical fertilizers, you were going to rely on natural means, enriching the soil through compost.
Eventually, though, groups of farmers in different countries said to each other, we need rules. and a system of certification to make sure that anybody who sells food as organic is following those rules.
Because they didn't want some other guy who was using some sort of pesticide or some chemical fertilizer to also claim he was organic.
There now are rules that define what's organic, but they're slightly different on either side of the Atlantic because of different histories, cultures, and political structures. So organic certification here doesn't mean you get to sell something as organic in Europe, and vice versa. It means that Matt McLean, founder of Uncle Matt's Organics in Claremont, Florida, doesn't even bother trying to sell his oranges or grapefruit juice in Europe.
They have a couple different things that they won't allow that we do allow in organic production that are very minor, but it's just a headache for us if we have to farm differently in different fields and keep track of it.
And if a European company wants to sell, let's say, organic chocolate in both the U.S. and Europe, it has to get its cocoa growers in West Africa certified as organic according to two different systems. Now, all that complication and expense is about to go away. Starting on June 1st, with just a few exceptions, if it's organic on one side of the Atlantic, it will also be organic on the other side. Kathleen Merrigan, the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture, made the announcement today at a trade show of the organic industry in Germany.
Everybody was hoping that this day would come and that we could have some free trade in organic agriculture and get consumers what they want.
Getting to this point meant getting over some prejudices, Merrigan says. Many Europeans had the feeling that U.S. standards were probably too permissive for the benefit of big organic agribusiness. U.S. officials, for their part, didn't think the Europeans did enough verification to make sure farmers actually follow the rules. The two sides spent a couple of years visiting each other and decided those ideas were wrong. Basically, the organic standards are equivalent. Any small differences, they'll just disregard. There's one significant exception. In Europe, organic farmers that work with animals are allowed to treat illnesses with antibiotics. In the U.S., they aren't, and that prohibition will remain. No meat or milk from animals treated with antibiotics can be imported and sold in the U.S. as organic. Matt McLean, the organic citrus producer in Florida, is happy to know that exporting fruit to Europe now is a realistic option.
I think it's a historic agreement that's going to create a lot of opportunity for U.S. organic food companies and also farmers, for sure.
Organic grain from U.S. farmers may flow toward Europe. More European chocolate or olive oil may show up in American supermarkets. USDA officials say they think organic exports to Europe will triple within 3 years. Dan Charles, NPR News, Washington.
Today's programs are made possible by Parkland College Theater, presenting the classic musical comedy, Pinkalicious, the Musical, based on the popular children's book from Wednesday, February 22nd through Sunday, March 10th. Pinkalicious can't stop eating pink cupcakes. More information is available at 351-2528.
It's the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 15th of February, 2012. It's the birthday of Galileo Galilei, born in Pisa in Italy, 1564, who defended the scientific belief that the Earth was not the center of the universe. And for this, he was tried by the Church for heresy. Galileo, who prophesied that in the future, quote, there will be opened a gateway to a large and excellent science into which minds more piercing than mine shall penetrate to recesses still deeper. He was a mathematics professor at Padua when he first heard about a new invention from the Netherlands, the telescope. And when he couldn't get his hands on one, he made one himself, ground the lenses himself, and was able to see the valleys and mountains of the moon, the Milky Way, to discover four moons of Jupiter. He corresponded with the German astronomer Johannes Kepler, who also believed that the sun, and not the earth, was the center of the solar system. And though Galileo was tried and convicted by the Church of heresy, he was not excommunicated, and he remained a loyal Catholic his entire life. It's the birthday of Art Spiegelman, born in Stockholm, Sweden, 1948, son of Holocaust survivors who both suffered depression, terrible nightmares. The Spiegelmans moved to New York City, where the boy fell in love with Mad Magazine and comics and cartooning. When he was 20, his mother committed suicide, and he wrote an autobiographical comic strip about her and her depression and her death, and started to think about creating a comic about the Holocaust, with the Jews as mice and the Nazis as cats. It came out in two volumes, Mouse, A Survivor's Tale, and Mouse 2, And Here My Troubles Began. Here's a poem for today by David Rompfett, entitled Coming Into the Family. My mother screamed in what she told me was the agony of childbirth. I've tried not to feel that I was the cause of her pain, though it's hard since it was my birth. She'd known for quite some time that I was facing the wrong way and hoped that I would turn, but I didn't. One doctor wanted it to be a normal birth. He put his hand inside and gently explored until he found me and forced me around so my head was pointed in the right direction. Still,